Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Welcome. Sit back and listen as we take you into mythology, theology, legends, and basic truth. Your host, Dragon, and Alan Cox, and this is the Welsh Dragon's Den.
Hello, yes, this is Alan Cox calling you live from the UK, and welcome to the Welsh Dragon's Den with myself and my co-host, none other than Dragon himself, Brian Allsup.
Hey, I'm not over there where you're at, but you know.
No, you're still in Kentucky, aren't you?
Oh, yes, don't you know it. Beautiful, wet Kentucky.
You haven't caught that big bird in the sky and come over here to me.
Why not?
Well, you can do. You're more than welcome. Right, I'll tell you what's going on. Amazingly, I'm trying to get into the chat.
And it keeps kicking you out too, huh?
I'm there. My goodness me, it's actually allowed me in this time.
So yeah, I've heard from several people today already, so no need to worry. It will let you in there eventually.
That's right. Well, you said to me what we're talking about today, and last week I said I'd try and find out if we've talked about dragons in China, in Europe, in Britain, in America, South America, the mid part of America. And I said the only part we haven't really touched is Australia.
Right.
So I've been having a little delve into it. And quite amazingly, there are real dragons in Australia.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they exist.
What do they call them?
Water dragons. And I'm seeing the pictures of them. And, yeah, that they do look like dragons. They do.
Interesting.
So, there's two subspecies, the Eastern Water Dragon and the Gippsland Water Dragon. And they are around about, the females are around about 2 foot long, and the males are about 3 foot long.
Can I have one for a pet?
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm reading about them. They're very shy, but when they're exposed to human beings over a long period of time, like if they venture into the parks and that, and they actually get used to humans, and because if they haven't seen humans before, or if they're frightened, they scurry up a tree to get out of the way.
Thought they were water dragons.
Yeah. Oh, they can spend up to 90 minutes at the bottom of water to hide from prey.
Oh, I need one then. Oh, man.
And they can swim underwater. But, yeah, they spend a lot of time on land. And certain parts of Australia, he says they're common in like Brisbane, that kind of area, Queensland. And you can go out to the park, sit on the bench, and they can be there walking right by you and do you no harm at all. But they look strange. I'm just looking at them now as I'm talking to you.
And, I just wonder if you have to have a special permit to have one here.
I really don't know.
That would be honestly the most interesting pet you could ever have.
Well, they sound quite incredible, really. It's all right, everybody in chat. If anybody's writing to me, I'm not ignoring you because I'm on another website trying to explain about these water dragons.
No, so. Alan's ignoring you. Trust me.
It says here, Australian water dragons are extremely shy in the wild, but readily adapt to continual human presence in suburban parks and gardens. They're fast runners, they're strong climbers, and when presented with a potential predator, they seek cover in thick vegetation or drop from an overhanging branch into water. And they're able to swim totally submerged and rest at the bottom of shallow creeks or lakes for up to 90 minutes to avoid detection. And both males and females display behaviour like basking, arm waving and head bobbing. Yeah. Fast arm waving signals is dominance, and while slow arm waving signals submission. The males are territorial, and in areas of high population density, the males exhibit displays of aggression towards other males, including posturing and chasing. And the water dragons hibernate over winter, and during spring, usually in early October, yeah, because it's October, spring in Australia, isn't it? The female excavates a burrow 4 to 6 inches deep and lays between 16 and 18 eggs.
Okay, all I need is a male then.
So, yeah, it's quite fascinating, isn't it? Canberra. The capital of Australia, that apparently they're quite common to be seen around Canberra.
Think about it. I've got all these little statues of dragons and stuff. I need a real one. Just as long as it's not a Komodo dragon, I'll be all right.
Oh, dear.
Now, those can get nasty. But now, what you're talking about sounds like the perfect little pet. Almost like a dog.
They do sound good, don't they?
Yeah, it'd almost be like a dog, wouldn't it?
So we've been talking about dragons from thousands of years ago, and we've been talking about dragons in spirit. But the dragons are there in Australia.
Now, the thing of it is, I did a little bit of research last week, and actually pulled up some stuff about Merlin and some other supposed wizards and everything sorcerers from that era.
Yeah.
And come to find out, I believe I know where the Chinese dragon itself originated from.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
It was very strange because it was actually, I can't remember where it was I was reading it, but there was a thing in there about the fact that the Chinese dragon has always been depicted as a paper dragon and put on display for thousands of years now, but that Merlin and several other sorcerers had the capability of actually turning those paper dragons into a real dragon.
And wow, some going into it.
Yeah, it was not a water dragon. It was more of the medieval type with the wings, the legs, everything. And yes, they did breathe fire, but they were more of a greenish color, not so much red. That was the weird part.
So, an actual paper dragon could be transformed into a real dragon.
According to what this thing was saying. I mean, I would like to see it happen, but, you know, magic, you know, does different things, so you never know.
Well, I've always said, you know, you can't say something is not unless it can be proven that it is not. And who's to say that there aren't magicians who can't do that? You know,
the ever popular "never judge a book by its cover."
That's right, exactly. That's right.
So, hey, this book might come back and bite you.
That's right. I mean, I'll tell you something. It's strange what different beliefs us humans can have, and then. But there again, you see, if you take the one of the most incredible ones is from hundreds and hundreds of years ago that people thought the world was flat and somebody, i.e. Christopher Columbus, said, no, it's round. And they all ridiculed him, but he was proven to be right.
Yeah, he went out there to prove it, didn't he?
He did. I'll tell you something, that takes some guts, doesn't it?
It took several years, but he managed to pull it off.
I bet everybody thought he'd fallen off, didn't they?
That was the first thing they thought.
Yeah, there was no cell phones or Skype in them days.
Oh, no. Can you imagine going back in the days of Christopher Columbus and handing him a cell phone? I think it would actually be the start of the true Pirates of the Caribbean type thing then. Oh, man, that would be interesting.
Yeah, it would. Goodness knows what they'd think if they come back and saw our world with the cars and the airplanes and everything.
Oh, no. He'd be lost.
I believe he would. But I know we're digressing a little bit. The Australian water dragon, just going back to that for a minute, they don't have an easy life, you know. I mean, they are considered prey for snakes, cats, dogs and foxes. And also the juvenile water dragons are vulnerable to butcher birds, carnivorous birds, kookaburras, currawongs. I presume these are animals and birds in Australia. I haven't heard of some of those.
Nope, I haven't either, so they would have to be down that area. Somewhere down
so,
there.
And they feed the actual small juvenile water dragons. They feed on small insects like ants, spiders, crickets, and caterpillars. And when they get bigger, they go on to small rodents, like baby mice.
Now I'd insects. Like to see that. Oh, look, so, Australian water dragons for sale.
Have you found it?
Yeah.
Have you've been looking while we've been talking?
Cool. Yeah, and also, I guess you wouldn't have to have a permit to have one because they're just more or less like an overgrown lizard.
Yeah. If you notice there seems to be a couple of subspecies, and one's got quite more of a dragon head. Tail than the other one.
Definitely.
And the other one is more like you've just said, like an ordinary reptile, really.
Yeah, an overgrown one, but you know.
Yeah, that's right. So, but it's like we'd gone all over the world, but we hadn't gone to Australia, and I thought that there's got to be something there. But intriguingly, there's no kind of history of dragons from centuries and centuries ago, like there is in the rest of the world. Like the Aborigine, they haven't got this thing about dragons.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at this one, and it talks about that they are true omnivores, that they will eat lots of plants and small animals.
Yeah.
So they're more or less human.
Yes, that's right.
It's a dragon with human characteristics.
I wonder if they got that on McDragon instead of McDonald's.
Yeah.
McDragon. McDragon stores. Yeah, that's it.
Maybe we ought to start one of those.
What, a McDragon?
A McDragon store.
Right, well, you know, we say about all mystical things and, you know, different mystical creatures and fairies and what have you. So I've been doing a little bit of delving into the history of fairies and that. And it's amazing how much is actually written about them. Basically, fairies can live anywhere. There are domestic fairies and wild fairies and water fairies. that dwell in rivers, lakes, the sea, forest, fields, subterranean fairies that live under the hills. In Victorian times, it was believed that fairies lived at the end of the garden, and fairies also thought to live in trees, and most closely associated with the ancient sacred oak worshipped by the Druids. So it goes back a long, long way. And the amount of different types of fairies is quite incredible. I mean, there's just a long list of them, and some of them don't sound very nice, to be honest.
No, I do understand. I mean, from my understanding is there are your good fairies, and then there are your evil fairies.
Yeah. Well, I've got a few here. Asrias. Have you heard of Asrias?
Nope. I don't know any of them by name other than Tinkerbell. But
okay.
You know, that's one that everybody knows.
Well, this is supposed to be kind of a race, a type of fairy. Mm-hmm. And they're small and delicate female fairies, and they cannot be exposed to sunlight or to be captured, else they melt away into the pool of water. And then you've got the Banshee. I think everybody's heard of a Banshee, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. Infamous. No doubt.
Well, it says, a woman fairy, a spirit attached to certain families. When a member's death approaches, the family will hear the Banshee crying, but not always in a terrifying way. But they've got some fantastic names, like Boggles. There's the Boggle Fairy.
Wow, now that's different. That sounds more like something from Lord of the Rings.
It doesn't, it?
Yes,
generally,
it does.
Evil natured goblins. Well, they are more disposed to arm to liars and murderers. Well, that's all right then, isn't it?
Oh, well, they can stay over there then. Sorry, don't want any part of that one.
So, but it's quite amazing how such a, you know, we've been talking about dragons, you know, the last 4 or 5 weeks or so. How different parts of the world basically see things very similar. And here is a long list of different fairies that it doesn't actually tell you which part of the world that they come from. But it's just quite unbelievable how many... I mean, if you look at it, Brian, people must really have an amazing imagination if they can come up with all this lot.
Pages and pages and pages.
That's right, exactly. You know, it's almost like, I mean, why would you want to sit down and think up things like that if there wasn't some kind of truth in it somewhere?
Yeah, there wasn't something behind it. But now, you know, I am still waiting on a response, but, you know, there are people out there that, you know, they'll swear on their life that they have seen fairies. That
yeah.
They really exist. And, you know, one example is, which a lot of people remember him, Corey, who used to come into the Dragon's Den a lot. They did an investigation at the Villisca Axe Murder House, and which is over here in the United States, if you're not familiar with it, Alan.
No, I'm not.
It's a famous house where 6 people were mysteriously murdered for apparently no reason at all, and all of them with an axe. And they never did find out who did it, but the house itself is very haunted.
Yes.
And Corey was actually there while an investigation was going on, and actually while it was a Para-X investigation, truthfully.
Right,
and
okay.
He saw, and he said the only way he could describe it were little tiny balls of light that came out of nowhere. They swarmed around him and then flew out the window. And he said the only way I can describe them is they reminded me of fairies.
Incredible.
I mean, to this day, he'll still tell you the same story. You know, he saw fairies.
Whereabouts in America did this happen?
Correct me if I'm wrong, folks, but I believe it's in Iowa. Villisca, Iowa. That's where it's at.
And what was any deduction to the reason they were there?
Nope. None whatsoever. Other than the fact that there is believed to be some demonic entity in that house.
And yes.
A lot of people believe that that house actually has fairies living around it to protect people that go in there.
From the demon.
From the demonic entity that's there.
Because they would do that, wouldn't they?
Oh, yes, they would. I mean, anybody, you know, I hate to bring this up again, but, you know, due to the popularity that Disney gave it, you know,
yeah,
the fairies in the Disneyland things and all of the movies and everything, you know, they were willing to give up their life to defend others. And, you know, that was just their firm belief. And yeah, honestly, I think fairies would do that.
You see, you know, I don't know how people see this show of ours, The Welsh Dragon's Den. And, yeah, you know, we talk about, like I was talking about, the Australian water dragon, which is a fact, and then, you know, do some research and say about the different dragons. But when you actually start talking about it, then it acts, is people might say, what's it got to do with the paranormal? But you've just literally brought in a link there with right, the fairies. With the paranormal, haven't you?
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, a lot of people in paranormal believe in these things.
Yeah.
They believe they exist, and like I said, some people actually believe they have seen them. I mean, this one lady I'm waiting on a response from, she'll tell you really quick she has talked to them. She talks to them all the time. She knows how to summon them up.
Yes.
So maybe we can get her to summon some up while she's on the show, if I can get her on.
That would be really good. That would be good, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Maybe they'll come and visit you and come and visit me and we'll take some pictures.
That would be good. That would be good.
Tell
you what, Brian, is it all right with you if we just have a break for a few minutes?
Sure.
And then come back?
We will do, and we will return, folks.
Thank you. Yes, we're still here.
Maybe.
Well, aren't we? We're still here.
Count your fingers and toes to make sure.
That's right. Pinch myself. Ouch.
You know, the strange thing is, I have been in and out of Para-X quite a bit this past week.
Yeah.
And it's very strange that there's actually a lot of people that listen to our show. You wouldn't believe the amount of people that are actually fascinated with the subject that we're taken under.
It is strange, isn't it? Because I know there's quite a few people in the chat room, and when we first started, but it's been about 5-6 weeks now, is it?
Oh yeah.
And I must admit, I was really pleasantly surprised. You know how much interest there is in it. You know.
Well, I'll be honest with you. You know, I knew somewhat about a lot of this, but you know, we have actually gone a lot deeper than what I have really researched on.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Some of the stuff that we have uncovered is, you know, it's unbelievable. And, you know, to find out, I mean, you know, looking at those Australian water dragons.
Yeah.
If you look at some of the images, and yes, folks, if you pull it up on Google, just type in Australian water dragon and click on the images. If you look at some of those, I saw some that have horns.
Yeah.
Some that have spiked tails. So, you know, they look a lot like the medieval dragon. And it's very strange that there's a creature out there that actually looks like them, only without the wings. That's the only thing that's missing.
So would you say that this gives credence to the fact that dragons did walk this earth hundreds or thousands of years ago?
Oh, I already believe they did. But,
yeah, same there.
I mean, you know, for me, there's got to be a reason that, you know, this stuff is talked about so much, and so many different places have seen a creature that, you know, a country from the other side of the world actually explains the same thing. You know, it's just very unusual for that something like that to happen.
That's right.
I'm sitting here looking at some of these pictures.
Well, I've just linked on to it. Says critters of Callum Vale Creek, Willa the Eastern Water Dragon, and it's very long. It's literally, you could say, 2/3 of its body really is the tail.
Yep, it is.
They've almost got like arms with fingers on the end. It's most peculiar.
Well, they're able to grab a hold of small tree limbs and hold on to them. That's what's so weird.
Yeah.
I mean, there's several pictures in here where you see them up in a tree, holding on to a tree limb.
Yes.
But there's also pictures of the smaller ones. I'm guessing you could actually call them like newts, because they look about like that, only with a long tail and everything. And, you know, these things look like little fat frogs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's what they look like, only they're, you know, they're, I'm going to call them appendages because it's the only logical word for them. Coming out of the end of their feet is, you know, they're long, skinny, and capable of grabbing a hold of a small tree limb and holding on. So maybe that's why they've survived so long in Australia.
Yeah, it could well be, couldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, if you look at the old, the pictures, how they depict dragons, I mean, I suppose in one way you could see the reason why they died out, because how big they were and how cumbersome in lots of ways. I'd imagine that they'd find it difficult to survive, really.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, one example would be if you've seen the movie Dragonheart. You know,
which I haven't. No.
You've got to see that movie. The dragon that Sean Connery played in that movie, You know, it was huge. But the thing of it was, you know, this dragon, it could fly very easily. But for it to maneuver around on the ground, you know, you would, it looks just like one of those lizards.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing. But, you know, they were, they have, every dragon you've pretty much ever seen has a large belly. But then again, you also have to look at the fact of, the fire-breathing dragon is believed to, you know, take in its food, and it had two or three stomachs. And one of those stomachs, the food that it digested through its acid, it turned into, you know, gases to use for fire.
Well, if you actually think about it, I mean, the camel has two stomachs, doesn't it?
Right.
So, it, you know, the fact that you're saying that a dragon has three, it's not beyond the realms of belief, is it?
No, it's not. And many, many reptilians out there have, you know, multiple stomachs due to the fact of, you know, such as the Australian water dragon, it can go underwater for 90 minutes. Okay, it can't hold all of that air in its lungs, so it has to hold it somewhere else that it can pull it from.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's only logical that they would have multiple stomachs to do that.
Well, if you think about it, it's like a diver going down with an air cylinder right on its back.
Exactly.
And it'll last for whatever amount of time it lasts for. So it's the same kind of principle, really, isn't it?
Exactly. And then, you know, the diver has to come out of water.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the same theory with the dragons. You know, some of them can go underwater and stay under there for a certain amount of time. And, I mean, you know, if you remember the story with Steve, he talked about right. The dragon went underwater.
Yes.
And it was capable of staying under there for a while. Well, it's got to have some way to pull oxygen. It's not pulling it from the water like fish do. Because frogs and toads don't do that. Neither do lizards.
And if you look at the different creatures that we know about on this planet, and I've mentioned the camel. I mean, no disrespect to the camel, but the most strangest looking animal, aren't they?
Very.
Right. And so if an animal like that can be alive today, then why is it beyond the realms of belief that dragons didn't walk this earth of ours hundreds, if not thousands of years ago?
Or that they still do and they're just out of sight.
Well, that's right, yeah. I mean, that could be hidden away somewhere in the jungles by the Amazon.
I mean, you know, look at all of the reptiles and things that are out there now. A lot of them have learned through experience how to duck and hide.
Yeah.
So people don't see them. I mean, granted, you know, dragons, you think of a dragon, a great big huge thing. How's it going to hide? Well, a lot of dragons have, you know, chameleon capabilities. They can blend into anything, anywhere. That was part of their defense. So what's to say, you know, there's not one standing right in front of you and you just don't see it?
like a chameleon.
Exactly. You know, chameleons, they can make themselves whatever color they want to be and blend right in and you'd never even know they're there. It's part of their defense mechanism.
That's right. That's right.
You know, a lot of dragons had the same capabilities. You know, they are lizards.
Yeah, well, they are, aren't they, really? And it's like certain species survive and thrive, and others, they become threatened in their survival in their habitat.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So these dragons, water dragons in Australia, you can see how they've adapted, really, to modern life. The fact that that I've learned over a long period of time that mostly humans don't bother them.
Exactly. I mean, you know, they have learned that, you know, when humans are around, they know when to run and when to hide and when they're, you know, when they feel safe. You know, they have learned this. And, you know, a lot of creatures have learned this. I mean, you know, that's why I keep saying you need to watch that movie Dragonheart. Because the way it depicts the relationship between humans and dragons is so close to what you would actually think it would be right now that it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've got a lot of people that are out there, and especially with the movies and stuff out there, you've got a lot of people that are, quote, dragon slayers. You know, they want to kill one.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what's the point in killing one if you can befriend it?
That's right.
And use the powers that it has for your, you know, to help yourself and others.
It says here also that one of the biggest threats that they have is that they're prone to becoming roadkill, because it's due to the attraction of warm bitumen and concrete for basking. So they get themselves run over on the highways.
And if you've ever seen videos of how they drive in Australia, you would know why most of them are roadkill.
Oh, right, okay. Well, quite mad, are they?
They don't slow down for nothing.
That's right.
I'm sorry, but, you know, if I'm flying down the road and there's a 3-foot-long lizard sitting in the middle of the road, I think I'm going to notice that one.
I tell you something, going back probably about 9 or 10 years ago, no, longer than that, it is longer, about 15 years ago, I was down in the West Country in Somerset, and I was driving down this country lane, and it happened so quick, I just didn't have a chance to avoid it. Out of the undergrowth at the side of the road was this quite, I would say, probably about 10, 12 foot long, this vivid green snake. And it came across the road, and my wheels went over it. And I put the brakes on, and I looked in the mirror, and it carried on slithering across the road and went into the undergrowth on the other side. Now, we don't have snakes of that colour over here, so I presume it must have escaped from somebody's collection, because we only have the grass snake, which is a kind of a browny coloured, and then there's the adder. And but that was a most peculiar sensation. So you was on about reptiles. That's my close encounter with a reptile in England.
Well, see, we've got, over here in America, we have what are known as garter snakes. And
right.
What they are is they typically live in a garden, and they will eat small rodents and insects and other things that come into the garden to feed.
Right.
But the thing of it is, they won't attack people.
Right.
99% of the time, if a person walks up on a garter snake, it's going to take off the other way as fast as it can go, which usually isn't very fast. But they are a bright green color.
So might have been the garter snake then, wouldn't it?
It's very possible. I mean, they're not endangered, so I don't see why someone couldn't have brought one over there as a pet and it got out.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
And then,
yeah, could it was vivid, bright green. Yeah.
You know, some of the, you know, you turn one loose in the wilderness around where you live, it's got plenty to eat.
Yeah.
It's got plenty to grow on.
Yeah. Well, that's right. And it would survive, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
One way or another. I mean, you know, not only are they capable of, you know, eating small rodents and things, but, you know, if you just by chance cut off one of them's tail, it will grow it back.
Really?
Strange enough, it will grow it back, much like, you know, a lot of lizards can do.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. there's a lot of snakes out there that have the capability of growing thing, you know, growing its tails back. But as far as a head, no, they can't grow their head back.
It's like Offworld Engineer in the chat room just says that they find a lot of lizards at truck stops. I wonder if that's for the food, if they're looking for scraps or something.
They probably are. I'll tell you what, though, if you find one over there, a bearded dragon, let me know. Send it over here. I'll take it. I'd love to have one.
Sorry, go on.
I would love to have one of those. Problem is, they're outrageously expensive if you buy them at a pet store.
Really, are they?
Oh, the last one I looked at, they wanted $70 for that thing.
That's, well, it's ridiculous, isn't it, really?
Well, the worst of it is, if you buy one from a pet store, you know, all these little kids are in and out all the time, and they're tapping on the glass and aggravating it. It gets to a point where it doesn't like humans anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, this one, you walk up to it, you don't even have to tap on the glass, and it would rear back, and its mouth would open up like it's going to try to bite you.
Yes.
And that's not good.
No, you're right, it isn't. It's about respect, really, isn't it?
Exactly.
You know, when you think about it. So I'm just seeing, you know, that there's a picture of one of these water dragons swimming across the river in Melbourne. And then there's another one on a log in suburban Sydney. And then one swimming across the river in Shoalhaven River in New South Wales. So they do seem to be in, you know, lots of different. And there's a picture of one surveying Sydney Harbour. You can see the city in the background. And it's just like with his head up. And from the view of it, it almost looks like something from a dinosaur era.
Yeah, it does. It looks weird, doesn't it?
Oh, you can see it, can you?
Yeah, I saw that one. I was also looking at one. It's green. It's a really bright green, and all they show is the head.
I haven't come across that. No, I haven't seen.
Page 2, I believe.
Right, okay.
And this thing, you know, looking at it, it looks, I'm sorry, but it looks more like Godzilla. A miniature-sized Godzilla. Don't let too many Japanese see it. They might scream. Let's just blow that picture up and say, ah! This one says it's a Chinese water dragon, though. But it does have horns on it.
It is strange, isn't it? I haven't. It's all right. I've been trying to look as you've been talking, and for some reason I can't seem to find it. But that's me all over.
Well, I mean, the thing of it is, you know, if you just browse through those pictures, you'll see a lot of them that, you know, there's a lot of these things that have horns.
Yes.
They actually, the strange thing is, they look intelligent.
Yeah, that's pretty true. They do.
It's very weird.
If you think about it, there's got to be a certain amount of intelligence there for them to survive, isn't there? It's got to be an inbuilt kind of mechanism that keeps them safe.
Well, they have to have a brain of some sort so they can, I mean, any of them that could stand up and look at a person like this, like the one some of these are, you know, while they're getting their picture taken, it's almost like they're posing.
That's it. That's a very good word for it. That's exactly how they do look. Like they almost like they want to have their picture taken.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Very strange.
It is, isn't it? It is. So, virtually the whole of our planet has got references to some kind of dragon. Yet, people still are not convinced that the larger dragons have walked this earth. But, you know, there's that much evidence there that that they have.
No, really there isn't. I mean, but the thing of it is, you know, you've also got to look at the fact of why do so many of these creatures
Well, that is the evidence I'm on about. The fact that, like we've said in previous shows, that people from different parts of the world that didn't know that part of the world existed at the time depicted the same kind of creature. So, all right, you might not have actually the evidence of seeing the creature, but surely to goodness that must mean something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at some of these, and I just clicked on another one that's rather odd-looking, and it's called the Frilled Dragon.
Right.
And strange enough, this thing can stand on its hind legs and run. But it has the capability, it has flaps on the side of it that,
yeah,
when it feels threatened, it flares out and it'll stand up on its hind legs and run.
Yes.
And it's kind of a, more like a fright making mechanism is what it is. You know, it's actually there to try to scare whatever's trying to come after it. But they've got some of them in here that, I mean, this is what you would think a dragon would look like without teeth.
There's one called the Nobby, N-O-B-B-I dragon, that lives in parts of Queensland, New South Wales. And that it's kind of long and thin, with scales on its back and long four legs that kind of splay out. It's the most peculiar looking creature.
Another strange looking one. I mean, it's weird though, but you know, there's so many reptiles out there that look like what dragons were thought to be that it's unbelievable. I mean, for people to say that these things never existed, then why would anybody in their right mind name these things dragons? It's very weird.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right.
It's just strange that the fact that, you know, these things that closely resemble dragons so much that, you know, we've actually got creatures on this earth that look like real dragons, only without the wings. But now the frilled dragon, you know, I'm sure some people may mistake those as wings from the way it looks. But, you know, they're little. These things are little tiny things. And the ones that were, you know, you've seen in history are described as huge. Some of them 10, 15 feet tall. I don't see any of these getting that big.
No, not really.
So you know, it was either one heck of an imagination or something.
It's, I think dragons are here to stay in the sense of these creatures. I don't think they're threatened.
Well, no, I don't see them as being threatened at all, but, you know, it's just odd that, you know, why are people so scared of these things? Because, you know, truthfully, if this is all a dragon is, then there's really nothing to be scared of. Unless it's a Komodo.
Right. Now, the Komodo, can you explain a bit about the Komodo? I've obviously heard of the Komodo dragon.
Well, we talked about it in the last show, and the Komodo, it's very, very large. I mean, on average, they are between 3 to 8 feet long, depending on exactly where they're at. And they have the capability of rearing up and spitting acid. And the acid is more of a, I call it a prey neutralizer, because what it does, it will paralyze its prey and start to break it down. And it's like, if you can just imagine having hydrochloric acid poured on you, that's about what this type of acid will do. and
that doesn't sound very nice.
It slowly kills whatever it's after, and it will eat, usually swallow, whatever it's after whole. And yes, there are cases out there where Komodos have killed and eaten humans. You know, it's very rare, but it has happened, and it takes a very large Komodo to do it. But they'll swallow their prey whole. They swallow the acid along with it, and it mixes in with more acid that's in its stomach that helps it break it down faster. Now, these things not only have the acid, but they've also got extremely long claws. They, you know, a lot of scientists say that the claws are used more for digging burrows in which, you know, for it to live in. But the thing of it is, if a Komodo was to reach out and grab something with those claws, these things are 6 to 8 inches long, and they're razor sharp. You can just imagine what it would do to, you know, flesh. Whether it's, you know, an animal or a human. It would, these things could probably rip something apart, because they're very, very strong. And, you know, that's a lot of why the Komodo itself is an endangered species, because so many people were scared of them that they killed them. And from my understanding, they're not easy to kill.
Really?
And I don't really know what they used them for, but, you know, they had to have had something they were using them for after they killed them.
So the Komodo dragon is an endangered species now.
Right. That's why you're not allowed to kill one. But it happens all the time.
But if... I mean, if you think about it, I mean, if you're unfortunate enough to come up against one, then it could well be a case of self-defense, couldn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, but then again, I mean, you know, they are aggressive. They can be very aggressive, but only in certain cases. So, you know, if I came across one, I would probably try to get up and as high as possible and away from it and let it go away. Because even with their size, as big as they are, you know, they can run very quickly.
Now, I mean, on the reptilian side of it, we've talked about the crocodiles and alligators before, but are they the kind of creature that they just go after you?
I haven't seen any cases of them actually just going after someone, but I'm sure that it does go after its prey in that manner.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that it would, you know.
And they can move quite quickly, can't they?
Oh, they are very, very quick.
Yeah.
Off said, yeah, just make wallets and shoes and belts out of them.
That's right. I like that. That's
I don't know right. how well that would work, but I guess it would be worth a shot.
I know when I went to Florida, and I went to the Everglades, and I went out in one of those, what do they call them, like hovercraft things they have right. there. And I got like the staging where you stand, and the alligators come up to it and literally put like their snout against the out of the water and touching the side of the walk, and they said it's all right. They can't get up there. And they can't do anything to you. And I stood probably about 6 or 7 inches away from it. And I'll tell you something. They're quite evil looking things, aren't they?
Okay, let me explain this. They tell you they cannot get up there, but yet there's videos out there of these things jumping out of the water.
Oh, my gosh.
And pulling full-size elk into the water.
I'm here to tell the story anyway.
I don't know that I would believe them quite well.
Yeah. Well, I only stood there for a moment.
You know, I can understand that an alligator or crocodile, they don't have much muscle to open their mouth with. But yeah. I don't think I would want to be stuck in the downfall of that jaw coming close.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
That would tend to hurt.
I think it made me smile when we went out into the Everglades and the guy stopped the hovercraft. And he said, this is the only fresh water for Florida. All the water comes from here. And it's only about 9-10 inches deep probably at this point. And he says, so you could get out and wade. He said, but look at him over there. And in the rushes was this alligator. He said, he's there every day. I stop here every day. And he's waiting for some sucker to get out there. He says, because he'd get you before you could even get back.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely, because those things are quick.
Yeah.
Very quick.
And they're motionless, aren't they?
They can sit there and not move at all for hours.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Would you think that is some kind of relation to the dragon?
Well, it would have to be. I mean, it's got a lot of the characteristics of them. But you know what?
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk about that later. We've actually come to the end of the show.
Brian, it's absolutely incredible how quickly it's gone.
It happens every time.
It does, doesn't it?
It just flies by. Maybe next week we can actually get some people to call in and ask questions or something.
I think that would be really good. So,
much as we've gotten into this, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of questions out there about it.
Yes. Well,
folks, I mean, if you've got some questions that you want us to answer, feel free to, you know, email us and ask us, or, you know, we're fine to bring it on air and talk about it when the show comes back on. But, you know, I can be reached at, it's not hard, dragon@para-x.com.
And I can be reached at calmingthoughts.com.
Right. So, see, it's not very hard.
Can we take this opportunity to thank everybody listening, whether you're in the chat room and everybody who isn't in the chat room. You know, it's fantastic that you take the time out of your day to listen to us. And I hope you enjoyed the show. I know Dragon's back again tomorrow morning.
Of course, you can hear my phone going.
Friday.
Oh, yeah, you will. Unless I yank you on a show or something.
That's right. Well, can I just say my guest this Friday is Ray Rutter, and he's an incredibly interesting guy. He's backpacked around Peru. He's been to South Africa. He's quite incredible. And he's a personal friend of mine, and I've known him for years, and he's quite an incredible guy. So I think you'll find him very interesting.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, he is. He's really good. He's a nice bloke, Ray. And it's really strange. We've known each other about 30, 35 years, and we don't know where we met. It's just really weird.
There you go with those English words again.
That's right. Yeah, we're going out of time there. I think we'll have to.
We're going to have to do one show just on the English language.
Is that right?
I'm sure Craig would get a kick out of that. We'll have to pull him in on that show.
I think you're right. I think you're right there. What is it, this fascination that you Americans have got?
I don't know. It's weird.
Is it weird? Oh, dear. You say, I talk just the way I talk. Just, you know.
I know you do.
That's it.
That's like me with my Kentucky accent, you know.
That's it.
Strange combination of the two, but.
You understand me, though, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, you got used to me. I don't know what the listeners think if they understand me.
I know you send me a voicemail and I'll put it on speakerphone and everybody's just dumbfounded going, oh.
Perhaps they ought to do that.
It's funny, but you know, I get a kick out of it.
That's right. Oh well. Anyway, folks, thank you for listening, and I'll see you on Friday, and Dragon will see you in the morning.
Exactly. Thank you very much, and you folks have a great day.
Yeah. Cheers, Brian.